And let's go in our Bibles, our Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Amen. It's good to be back in Canberra. We were just there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in Mount Isa. But it's a very unique place. How many people here have been to Mount Isa before? Brother David, Bishop Downs, Sister Bola, Sister Kim. There's a few people. It's just kind of strange that just in the middle of Australia, in the middle of nowhere, there's this city. And it's very, very hot there as well. And I really don't know how they do it. And we've got a wonderful church there. Pastor Arnell and his wife were installed by Pastor Downs there just last year. They've got a wonderful work established there. The church is growing, and we thank God for that. That the gospel can reach even into these remote areas of Australia. Amen. Exodus chapter 20. Or 20, I got to learn to speak properly, don't I? Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3 through to 6. And then if you can flick to the middle of your Bible to the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 93 and verse 3 and 4. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Can we read that? That's part of the Ten Commandments right there. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Let's read verse 3 together. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You're to have no gods other than the one true living God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. No other gods. Don't form them. Nothing in heaven, nothing in earth, nothing under the earth. Don't bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Everyone say, don't serve them. Psalm chapter 93, verses 3 and 4. The psalmist writes these words, speaking of the feelings and the emotions that he was going through. And David wrote a lot about how he felt. And he wrote, the floods have lifted up, O Lord. He's not talking about water. He's talking about emotional floods. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods have lifted up their waves. The Lord on high, though, is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. The Lord on high is mightier. Everyone say mightier. God is mightier than anything that we feel, anything we go through, any flood, any situation. David said, yeah, it's not easy. The floods have lifted up. They've lifted up their voice. The waves are coming in. But God is mightier than the noise of the waves. I want to minister today, and it is family month, and I'm taking the time to talk on things that pertain to family, but not just that, things that are practical and pertain to us as just individual people. Whether you're single or married, you have a family or not, everything that he's preached about in Family Month is going to find a resting place in your heart if you will receive it. I want to minister today on this thought. Lead your heart. Lead your heart. Keeping our emotions submitted to God. Lead your heart. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we have your word today. Lord, in this changing world, Lord, your word is forever settled. When everything is changing and everything is unsettled, Lord God, your word is forever settled. The flower may fade, the grass will wither, but your word will abide forever. Lord, it is our hope, and we want to build our life on your word. So right now, prepare our hearts. Lord, help us to hear, Lord God, what you're going to say to us today, and help us to apply it to our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated and turn to your neighbor and say, lead your heart. Lead your heart. Lead your heart. Amen. Lead your heart. Our world, the world you and I live in, has become a very emotional place. We seem to have become a society that can be manipulated if something or someone can just appeal to our emotions. We've become a very emotional world. A few years ago, a newspaper wrote a special article, and it entitled the article, "How Feelings Have Taken Over the World." How feelings, everyone say feelings. Wrote a whole article about how feelings have overtaken the world. And in the article, the writer says, instinct and emotion have overtaken facts and reason. Instinct and emotion have overtaken facts and reason. And so much of social media is about emotion. So much of what we see in the newspapers and on the media and things like that is emotion. We even have headlines that appeal to your emotions so that you will click on it. I think they call it clickbait. So you'll click on it, and the article may not be about anything, but the people writing the article get paid for the advertising because you clicked on it. Emotional headlines get the clicks. Emotional things are used as a lure, and people, you'll even hear them say, don't worry, if it feels right, just do it. I don't know where somebody thought of such a stupid thing. If it feels right, then do it. That seems to be the mantra of the world today. And even when it comes to untruths, emotional untruths, if we can take a lie and make people emotional about it, it will actually travel faster than the truth. Lies that have emotions attached to them will travel faster than the truth. You see, we have become a very emotional world. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? Yeah, even the news can appeal to emotions. And the reality is most people in our culture, they don't think anymore. They just feel. Many have lost their ability to think because they're just relying on how they feel. In fact, many people will feel the truth rather than think about the truth. The truth will be what they feel. And here it is. The world and the corporate world know about this and this leaning on our emotions and this following our emotions. And so when you go into a shop, they know if they can just play the right music that they can enact an emotional response, and people will tell you that they can make you buy things just by using the right music. The corporate world know all about it. They can control behavior by making us emotional and appealing to our emotions. Because why? Most people are not really interested in the truth and the facts. They're just relying on their feelings. And so what we live in today and this cultural influence of emotions, we have basically idolized, and we got to be careful as Christians that we don't put our feelings before God. That we don't put our feelings before the Word of God. You see, God must be first. We can't be led by our feelings. The truth of God's Word must be foundational in our life. We can't rely on our feelings. I want to tell you, your feelings will lie to you. Your feelings won't tell you the truth, but God's Word will tell you the truth. God will tell you the truth. You can't idolize your emotions. And so we often think about idols. We think about, well, In many other countries, there's graven images, wooden idols, golden calves, all these sort of things. We think of those things as being idols, but we have more contemporary idols these days. You know, our even idolizing ourselves and our selfishness and our possessions and our job and our money. We make, you see, an idol is anything that comes before God. But have you ever stopped to think that if you are living life based only on emotions and that you are believing the truth only by what you feel, then you have made an idol of your emotions. And we got to keep our emotions submitted to God. We got to keep our feelings submitted to God. And people in the world say, if it feels right, do it. And people say, why can't we just go with the culture? You see, when society and when we divorce ourselves from God's word, when we start following our emotions, let me tell you, destruction will follow. When you start following your emotions and not the word of God, destruction will follow. And so emotions, I looked it up in the dictionary. It says a strong feeling derived from one's circumstances, mood, or relationship with others. Emotions, strong feelings. Now, emotions, they are feelings, and feelings tell us things. We were created with feelings. And while we can feel emotions, just because you feel a certain way, just because you feel your emotions, doesn't mean it's always true. There are plenty of times when my dad said I couldn't have a lolly and I felt unloved. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But was that the truth? No, my dad loved me too much to give me a lolly, he said, you know, for my own good. Sometimes our feelings just aren't right. Our feelings will lie to us. And when we say someone, oh, you're just being emotional, what we're saying is that they have lost objectivity. They're not being rational. They're not basing their response or their thinking on reason or logic or even the truth. They've become emotional. We cannot, church, be governed by our feelings. We cannot make decisions solely based upon our feelings. Yes, we need feelings. Yes, Adam and Eve were created with feelings. And when God was done creating them, he said, it is good. But we are not to live our life governed by our feelings, our emotions. You see, our feelings and our emotions, they're great servants, but they're terrible masters. Write that down. Our feelings and emotions are great servants, but they're terrible masters. Feelings are not right or wrong. Feelings are just feelings. Emotions aren't right or wrong. They're just emotions, but they must never replace the truth. We must never allow ourselves to be controlled by our feelings. They have to have a proper place in our life. They must never become between us and our relationship with God. Some people say, well, I don't feel God loves me. Well, that's a lie. God does love you in spite of what you're feeling right now. Oh, God is so far away from me. He doesn't hear me. Well, even the psalmist even said things like that. But that wasn't true either. God was always there. He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. You can have feelings, but we must not live our life governed by our feelings. Now, to go to the title of my message today, to follow your heart. How many people have heard someone say, just follow your heart? Anyone ever heard that? In a song or a movie or a friend has said, just follow your heart. It sounds kind of true, doesn't it? It sounds kind of cool. Just follow your heart. They're implying somehow that your heart is, you know, this compass that will direct you in the right direction. Just follow your heart. You'll get it right. You can't go wrong following your heart. This is compass inside of you, and it's your emotions. Just follow them. They will lead you in the right direction. And that's what the world says. Come on. Just have the courage to follow your heart. You are lost when you don't know what to do, when you are lost, when you can't make a decision. The world says, I know what to do. Just follow your heart. It sounds simple, maybe beautiful. It sounds liberating. You know what? Just do what I feel. When I'm lost, I know it's such a tempting gospel to believe, such a tempting message to believe. Just go with what I feel. Follow my heart. That's what the world will tell you. But it's not true at all. I want to ask you today to be honest with yourself. No, don't be honest out loud, but does everything your heart tell you, is it always good? Do you think sometimes your heart might be a bit of a sociopath? I'm right and they're wrong. And if we differ in opinion, well, they're wrong. I'm right. Sometimes our heart can be terribly selfish. Sometimes our heart has thought things that we would never want anybody else to know. It doesn't sound like such a good idea to follow your heart anymore, does it? Because if we were to follow our heart, where would we be? We would end up in destruction. If you were to follow every feeling that you felt, where would you be? Some of you would be in jail. You'd probably you felt like punching someone, so you did. And you go into the court and you sit there and the judge says, why did you do it? He said, well, I was watching TV the other day and they said, follow your heart. He's going to say, well, too bad. Throw away the key. So what's wrong with following your heart? You see, the idea of following our heart sounds very nice, but it's not in the Bible. In fact, here is what the Bible says about the heart. In fact, the Bible says the heart has a disease. It says in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Some translations say, who can trust it? God told us, he said, your heart is going to deceive you. Your feelings and your emotions are going to deceive you. It is deceitful above all things, and it's got a terrible sickness. So just write this down today. My heart is not leadership material. To follow my heart could be the end of me. In fact, Jesus said this in Matthew 15, out of the heart comes evil thoughts. Out of the heart, this is why I said some of us might end up in jail if we followed our feelings. Out of the heart comes murder. Out of the heart comes the adultery and sexual immorality and theft and false witness and slander. Where does it come from? From out of the heart. And so the world will tell us, this is why you got to know your word. It's why you got to know the word of God. The world will tell us, just follow your heart. But God's word says, no, follow my word. Don't follow your heart. You got to lead your heart. Don't follow your heart. You got to lead your heart. And I'm going to use God's word as my standard. I'm going to use God's word as the leading. And I'm going to make my heart conform to the word of God. Lead your heart. Don't follow your heart. Lead your heart. Now, in fact, we need to be saved from our hearts, I think. That's why we have to die. The Bible says that salvation is dying to the flesh, dying to the carnal nature. The truth is, no one lies to us more than our heart. Our heart will not save us. We got to lead our heart. And you know, I got three young boys who, you know, when they were younger, they couldn't really manage their emotions. They were very much following their heart. And that's why children need an outside force to lead them, because they're just going to follow their heart. And so we need to parent our children, because they're just following what they feel. That's why children need parents. You see, feelings and emotions are great servants. God created us to feel and to have emotions, but they are terrible masters. We got to be careful and make sure that our emotions are submitted to God. They must be submitted to God. You see, God, I said it before, God created Adam and Eve. He created them with emotions. And then when he was finished, he said, it's good. So emotions aren't bad, but they must have the proper place in our life. They must not become idols. You think about it. You know, I don't want you to think that having emotions is wrong, but it's when they're in the wrong order. Imagine if everybody in the world never became emotional. I've met some people that I wondered if they had any emotions. But God created us to have emotions, to love. In fact, God, you know, we feel love, we feel joy, we feel happiness, we feel all of those things. And sometimes our emotions are grounded in truth. But more often than not, because of our sickly heart, they are grounded in error. We've got to be careful. We can't follow our heart. We've got to lead our heart. Because when you allow your emotions to rule your life, you have made an idol out of your emotions. Who would have ever thought that our feelings can become idols? Who would have ever thought that our emotions could become idols? Because when you let the emotions rule your life, you have made an idol of your emotions, and you have made a very dangerous idol. Idolatry is one of the things. What it is when things get out of order in your life. When things creep in before God, it becomes an idol. And families and marriages, relationships, when they're governed by emotions, they are destined for disaster. They are destined for shipwreck. When we are led by our emotions, we become very self-centered and about what I feel. We read a situation about what I feel. In fact, being an emotional person means that you have a very hard heart when you're led by your emotions. Why? Because you can be in a relationship and the only way you're engaging in that relationship is by how you feel, not how the other person feels. And it's going to destroy the relationship. Let's go to James chapter 1. Having established the wickedness of our heart and who can trust it, and that our heart has a sickness, James chapter 1 goes on to say that sin is conceived in our emotions. It says here in James 1, 13 to 15, it says, let no man say when he is tempted that he is tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust. Everybody say emotions. And enticed. Everyone say feelings. We're not drawn away by the devil, but the devil will appeal to our emotions and our feelings. And then it says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. And so sin is conceived in our feelings. Adam and Eve just thought, well, it's a little bit unfair. I feel that it's unfair that we can't partake of this tree. It looks so good to me. I'm sure it'll make me happy. I'm sure it's going to taste nice. They followed their emotions and right there they followed their feelings and they ended up with the first sin. They disobeyed God's word. Why? Because they trusted their emotions over the word of God. Genesis chapter 4, verse 5 to 7, it talks about Cain. And Cain, yes, Cain had some very negative feelings. Look at this in Genesis 4, verse 5 to 7. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. God did not respect Cain's offering. And Cain was very wroth. He became very angry, and the emotions were all over his face. his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why are you so wroth? And why is your face showing all your emotions? Why has your countenance fallen? And then God said, if you do well, you will be accepted. But if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So Cain is angry. Cain is upset. And God gives him the counsel along with a warning. If you do well, if you follow my word, if you follow my commandments, Cain, if you follow what I told you to do, your countenance will be lifted up. Let your feelings conform to my word. And so if Cain decided to obey God and do well, it would result in a restored relationship with God. But if not, the Bible says, if he followed his emotions, then he would end up in sin. And the idolatry of emotions destroyed Cain's life. He followed what he felt. He followed what he felt. He followed his feelings. Even Jesus, if you think, he was a man. He was the God-man, deity and humanity in one. And in his humanity, he had feelings. When he went to the cross, he had painful feelings. In fact, he also had passionate feelings. The Bible says, for the passion which was set before him, he endured the cross. That was his passion. That's why we call the cross and Easter, we call it the Passion Week, because it was Jesus' passion, his love for us that took him to the cross. And in the most difficult times, Jesus showed us how to deal with painful situations. He even said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I can't. I'm a wreck in my emotions, my feelings. But you know what? He didn't think about his troubled soul. He began to glory. He said, if it's not possible, he said, oh God, give me strength. I'm going to do this. And so Jesus had emotions, but the emotions never had Jesus. He went away all the way to the cross to be about the glory of his Father. He gave us a pattern. I want to bring glory to God. I'm not going to follow my emotions and my feelings. You see, when you allow yourself to be controlled by emotions, they become strongholds in your life. Everybody say strongholds. I know it's a funny topic, because normally when we talk about strongholds, we talk about addictions and all these sort of things. And Pastor, you're talking about feelings and emotions. You see, the world uses the word addictions to imply that you can't get out of it. But the Bible uses the word strongholds. And when we see the word stronghold, it tells us that while we may be experiencing something, there is if we can get the spiritual right, we can break the stronghold. We can break the stronghold. And so our emotions, yes, are very easy targets for the enemy. The enemy will come. And if he can get your emotions into your emotions, because here, your emotions are a byproduct of your thought life. And then who controls your thoughts controls the way you feel. And so here it is. Paul told us in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every feeling, every thought, bring it into captivity. Bring my emotions, bring my feelings, bring it all into alignment with the Word of God. Let me tell you today, we don't follow our heart, we lead our heart. We say, I want to know what the Bible says. I don't want to follow my feelings. I'm here to tell you today, we got to make sure our emotions are submitted to God. And somebody say amen. And so the call of God today is to reorder some things in our lives. Far too many Christians, and I say Christians, people here today, including myself, we can be held hostage by emotional strongholds. paralyzed by feelings, anger, depression, discouragement, inferiority complex, lack of self-esteem, fear, all of these things, these emotions can paralyze us. These feelings can paralyze us. Now, at home, you've got a smoke detector, and the reason why we have smoke detectors in our homes is to detect smoke. There's nothing worse than when you're trying to cook toast and the smoke detector keeps going off. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We've experienced it, and it's so frustrating. You know, it's like everyone just goes crazy in the house when that thing starts beeping. People are getting pillows, plates, ripping off their clothes, going crazy. But the reason why that smoke detector is making that sound is because there's a fire in the house, correct? Yeah. And so it may be tempting to go over and just smash the thing so you can get rid of the noise. But it would be very foolish to go and take your smoke detector and just throw it out the door, because it's not there to annoy. It's making a sound for a reason. And by just smashing and throwing it out of the house, you're not going to fix the problem. Some people may say, well, you know what? As long as that smoke alarm's going to go off, I'm just going to put my big industrial earmuffs on so I can't hear it. No. Some people may say, well, let's just try and live with it. But the alarm, the smoke detector is not sounding the alarm so you can just hear its noise. It's not just trying to annoy you. The smoke detector is making a sound to alert you of something else that is wrong. And so I don't go to the smoke detector and smash the smoke detector. I go to try and find why the smoke detector is sounding. And so I got to go and find the room. I've got to go find the place. I don't check the detector. I go and check the house. And so what a smoke detector is to the house, our emotions are to the soul. Let me say that again. Write it down if you're taking notes. What a smoke detector is to a house, our emotions are to the soul. When the wrong emotions are coming out, we've got to say, you know what? Something is wrong. I've got to go and check my heart. I've got to go and check my thought life. And when you spend all your time just trying to deal with the emotions that are sounding their alarm, something else is wrong. You got to get to the source of the problem. And that's why Paul said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We got to make sure our emotions are submitted to God, to reorder some things, to bring our emotions back into the right order. We read it, our text, the beginning of the Ten Commandments. God doesn't just tell them not to worship idols. He says, he clarifies it. He said, you can recognize an idol because people bow down and serve them. I want to tell you, we live in a world that has become a servant to emotions. We have allowed our emotions to become our masters. Idols are one thing, if you read the Bible, that invite the wrath of God time and time again through Scripture. And I've come to warn us today in this family month that we cannot allow our emotions to become idols. I've come to warn you today, you cannot allow your emotions to become your master. You cannot bow down and serve your shifting moods and your shifting feelings. And I feel this and I feel that. And I'm going to do this because I feel this way. No, you don't follow your heart. You lead your heart. You got to make sure your emotions are in submission to God. And every day we're faced with a decision. Will I respond to God's word biblically? Am I going to respond to the circumstances in my life biblically? Or am I going to follow my emotions? Am I going to rely on my feelings? Or am I going to rely on the Word of God? Let me tell you, feelings will come and go. They're going to come and go. You can't escape them. But we can choose to live by God's Word and not our feelings today. I know I might be getting right up in your grill today, make you feel a little bit uncomfortable, a different sort of message today, but we can't be governed by our feelings. God's Word and our relationship with God must come first. And so the devil, yeah. You may have not made the devil your idol, no. And the devil's fine with that as long as he can allow your emotions to be your idol. He doesn't care. He's like, okay, all right, I don't have to be your idol, the devil says, but if you just allow your emotions to be your idol, then I can help you. You're just going to continue to move away from God. You're going to move away from having a relationship with God. He's going to come and he's going to bring temptation. He's going to appeal to your feelings, all of those things. You see, we must make sure our feelings and emotions are submitted to God. Let's go to John chapter 8, verse 32, as I get ready to finish. John chapter 8, verse 32. It says this, and it's a powerful scripture. John 8, verse 32 says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. There's a few words we need to know right there. A lot of people say, the truth will set you free. No, that's not what the Bible says. It doesn't say the truth will set you free. In fact, God's word is truth. I can carry it under my arm. I can have it on my bookshelf. I can hear it preached in the house of God every Sunday and Wednesday in our home groups. I can have the truth. But unless I know the truth, it cannot set me free. The power is in knowing the truth. Everybody say knowing. Okay, Pastor, so we just go to Bible school and we get that power. No. Having Bible knowledge of the truth isn't going to set you free either. Because the power of that scripture is found in the Greek, brother. In that word know, which is an intimate knowledge, a relationship. It's the same word know when it says when a husband and wife knew each other. An intimate knowledge. God is not saying, if you know about me, he said, I want you to know me. Not to know about my word, but I want you to have an intimate knowledge of my word. And you shall know that intimate knowledge. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, this is about going beyond head knowledge and knowing the truth, being intimate in it, allowing the word of God into me see. That's where intimacy comes from. Allowing the word of God like a two-edged sword to go into the depths of our heart and to reorder our lives. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It will make you free. And so we got to replace the lies with what? God's word, the truth. And if we do that, we don't have to have a low self-esteem. I am who he says I am. I'm beautifully and wonderfully made. I was formed in my mother's womb. There are times when I may feel like I'm all alone, but God said, yea, lo, I am with you even to the ends of the world. I will never leave you or forsake you. I choose to stand on God's word and not on my feelings. Clap your hands to the Lord today. I believe God tells me who I am. I believe God gives me my identity. I know Jesus came to set me free from my past. I'm not defined by my past. I am set free. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. When we are converted, we're told that we are to replace the false beliefs with the truth of God's word. Colossians 3, verse 10 says, putting on the new self, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Renewed, part of our renewal comes from the knowledge of God and his word. Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says this, trust in the Lord. Come on, let's read this one together, everybody. This is where it's at. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Where does our own understanding come? From feelings and emotions. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't be led by your heart. Don't follow your heart. Lead your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, in everything you feel, in everything you do, in all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. He will make straight your path. The idolatry of emotions. The world says, follow your heart. God says, lead your heart. Trust in me. Trust in my word. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I got to make sure that my feelings are submitted to the word of God. We live in a very emotional world. Don't let it be said by Christians that we get caught up following our heart. Following our emotions, following our feelings. Don't let it be said, but we first and foremost follow God and His word. David wrote a lot about emotions. We read it in our text. He says, the floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods have lifted up their waves. Anybody here today ever been in a situation where you just felt flooded by emotions? Yeah. Sadness, fear, anxiety, hurt, bitterness, hatred, anger. The psalmist knew what it was like as well. He said, it's like waves. It's like waves crying and shouting at me. He said, the floods have lifted up. They've lifted up their voice. The floods, their waves. I just feel overcome. I don't know what to do. I'm out of control. But the key is in the next verse, in verse 4. In spite of my emotions, in spite of how I feel, the Lord on high, the Lord on high, come on church, the Lord on high, the great God and King, our Lord and Savior, the God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waves. I choose to trust God. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter what my emotions are. I'm going to bring my emotions back into submission to God. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. A different sort of message today, and I guess and hope you would expect that in Family Month. Practical. But we cannot be like the world. We are to come out from among them and be separate. And the way we live our life and the way we govern our life is part of that. We must not follow our heart. We lead our heart. We must make sure our emotions are in submission to God. Can you stand all across this place right now? Oh God, the noise of the waters. It's like, God, they come crashing in all around us. And let me tell you today, I know church, the noise of our emotions, the noise of our feelings can steal our hope. The waves can come and flooding in, even to the point where we feel like we're almost being suffocated by darkness. But I want to tell you today, like the psalmist said, no matter the sorrow, no matter the fear, no matter the loss, I want to tell you, there is one mightier than the raging of every storm that's going on around you. There is one who can calm the storm. There is one who can bring a peace that surpasses all understanding. For in his presence there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand pleasures forevermore. I'm talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today. Be careful of the idolatry of emotions. The Lord on high is a rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. When all around is seeking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. I'm not going to follow my heart. I'm not going to trust the leading of my feelings, but I'm going to put my trust in God. Because the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. I want to tell you today, we've got a God. He is our refuge and strength. Let's lift our hands all across this place right now. God is doing a work in this place. God is doing a work in people's hearts. It's time to reorder some things in your life today, to bring your emotions and your feelings back into the submission to God, to get back into the Word of God, to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Oh, this is what I feel, and this is what the emotions that I got right now. Oh, come on, church, you've got to lead your heart. You can't follow your heart.